Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Before we get into the Packers schedule and get into all the nerdiness, all the minutiae that we can possibly get into with this Packers schedule, quick shout out to Tettletown T, Ryan, and Gustavo Santiago for signing up to become Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. If you've been on the fence, you've been thinking about it, now is definitely the time to do so. Did an interview on Wednesday with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl. That episode's going to be coming out for everyone on Friday. I could just say it's a members only thing, but it's not. It's going to come out for everyone Friday. But if you'd like to listen to that right now, it's out there right now for our Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members over on the YouTube channel. You get early access to videos. You get a members only episode every single week, members only chat every single week. There's a ton of options out there for you. So make sure to check that out. And again, shout out to Tettletown T, Ryan, and Gustavo for signing up. All right. We've got a huge schedule to dive into. We're going to get into all the really fun details, all the nerdy details, a little bit of everything. First of all, the Packers, their social media team, their digital media team, I thought they did a pretty good job. Now, they pandered a little bit to the Packers audience, maybe not so much a national audience, although we saw Aaron Andrews in there. We saw Joe Buck. We saw Big Cat from Barstool. We saw all these different personalities, but we also got to see some Packaday favorites and some friends of the show, Aaron Nagler, Wes Hodkowitz, Tom Grassi, of course, Rob Domofsky's in there as well. Just a really fun video overall. Of course, you've got it starring Preston Smith, Jair Alexander, Jordan Love, Larry McCarron, John Kuhn makes an appearance. I thought overall, pretty funny, pretty well done. Lil Wayne's in there. So nice job to the Packers and their digital media team this year. I thought the Big Cat one especially was at least like they had some adult humor in it. Like that never happens for the Packers. So kudos to them. I think they actually went more PG-13 than I probably have on my channel the vast majority of the time. So kudos to the job the overall Packers did on their schedule release video. But we've got bigger things to dive into. And for me, we've known the opponents. We've known them since the very last game of last season when you get the form, you know, the formula spits out exactly who you're going to play against. We know the vast majority of next year's opponents if you want to go out and check those out right now. So we've known these for a while. What we got was basically just the order and then some of the things that we're going to dig into today. And I think one of the big themes for today's show is that not all schedules are created equally. I think a lot of people, probably not you guys, because you've probably been here before, listened before, and you're just really smart fans for listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast 365 days a year. But I think a lot of people just think, yep, schedule 8 home games, 9 road games, or 9 home games, 8 road games. You're going to have a bye, and you're going to face 17 different teams. All right, let's look at it, and that's it. And there is so much more that goes into it, and there are legitimate advantages and disadvantages that are baked in to every single schedule, and not all schedules are created equal. And I am not talking about at all strength of schedule or your opponents. We'll talk about that a little bit today, just as sort of a interesting aside, but we have no idea how good any of these teams are ultimately going to be. You take the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a Patrick Mahomes injury away from going from the Super Bowl favorites to what? A bottom 10 team in the league in all likelihood, if he's out for the season. You know, like we just don't know what teams are going to be good. We don't know what injuries are going to take place. So we can have fun and have the hypotheticals of looking at these matchups, and it's fun to do, but we just don't know what these matchups are actually going to look like when they take place and what injuries are going to be out there. We know that all of these teams are going to go through a war of attrition through the entirety of the season. So I'm not looking at this from a who are their opponents standpoint and how is that harder or easier. I'm looking at it from rest advantages and disadvantages, huge travel disadvantages coming off of international games, Thursday night road games. Like these are things that have legitimate impact on a team And again, not all of these schedules are created equally. All right, before we can get into all of that, we need to at least have a very quick look at the exact schedule itself. Now, per Tom Silverstein, I don't know if I saw this released anywhere else, so I'm going to just give credit to Tom on it. He released the three preseason games. You've got the Browns, Saturday, August 10th, 3:25 p.m. You've got at Broncos, Sunday, August 18th at 7 p.m. And then you've got the Ravens at home for the only home preseason game, Saturday, August 24th at 12 p.m. All of those times are Lambeau time, Central time. So those are your three preseason games. I don't think there's much to glean here from the preseason overall. If you're hoping that there are going to be joint practices this season, well, it'll be before that Ravens home game. They're the only home game they have on the preseason schedule. So hopefully Green Bay and Baltimore can come to some agreement on working out some joint practices the week of. I know that those are always a little bit more spirited. A lot of people really like to attend those practices. There've been some issues with the joint practices with Green Bay and the intensity rising and some camp fights and things like that. So I don't know if you're cheering for them, cheering against them. No, Aaron Rodgers didn't like them much. I think a lot of the Packers do like them, but we'll have to wait and see if they actually do have some of those joint practices. They also could be doing joint practices in Denver with the Broncos or in Cleveland with the Browns, but we'll just have to, again, kind of wait and see if they do set any of those up. But if you're hoping that the Packers will host some in Green Bay, it would have to be the Ravens, again, before that August 24th preseason date, usually like the, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday prior to that game, or Monday, I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Monday, Tuesday, I forget, but one of those prior to that Saturday, August 24th game. All right, so those are the preseason games. Then we get to, of course, the regular season games. So you've got Philly in Brazil to start things off. We knew that for a while now. Colts at home. So do they get that, you know, week two home game? Yes, they do. It's not a Monday night game or a Sunday night game or anything like that. They don't get any additional rest other than coming off the Friday game and then playing the following Sunday. But they face the Colts at home in week two. Then they have a legitimate road game where they go to Tennessee to face the Titans. Minnesota at home. The Rams on the road. Cardinals back at home. Texans at home in a noon game. I cannot believe they put Texans, Packers, Stroud, Love as a noon game. That is crazy to me. Jacksonville on the road. Detroit at home. Then a week 10 bye week. Bears on the road in week 11. 49ers at home. Dolphins at home. Lions on the road, Seahawks on the road, Saints at home, Vikings on the road, and Cowboys at home to end the season. So that is the full Packers schedule in the order that they will play in. So what stands out? One of the first things is a week 10 bye week. That's about as good as it gets. You know, again, not all things are created equal. We have seen Green Bay with, what, week 5, week 4 bye week in the past? And those are extremely disadvantageous. Even ones that happen week 13, 14 can be extremely disadvantageous because sometimes you need that rest. Prior to then, just ask Green Bay coming off that London game and having a huge stretch of road games. It didn't work out too well for them. They could have used that bye earlier that season. It didn't happen until way later, until things had kind of spiraled out of control. That was when they, of course, went international in London. So getting that right in the middle of the season feels really, really good. And it comes sort of right before, I think, one of their toughest stretches of the season. So that bye week feels perfect. How about what else stands out? Road games. This is the first time where the Packers have the real true advantage of having the 9 home games. Because remember, the last time it happened, their home game was in London. That extra home game was in London. So they didn't actually get to experience that extra home game at Lambeau. So they have 9 legitimate home games at Lambeau. Only 8 road games. And of that, you have one of those games that's in Brazil, which I would be willing to bet you just about everything is at worst, at absolute worst, a neutral site game. And in all likelihood, a pro Packers crowd. So that is not your traditional road game. I will add one more to this. When they go to LA in week 5 to face the Rams, this is another one where there's going to be a very large Packers contingent in LA for that game. You watch the Rams games and the Chargers games in LA. It's not exactly a huge Rams and Chargers presence when they go up against teams that travel very well. My guess is that Jordan Love will be able to utilize his cadence. They're not going to have to go with a silent count, which makes things obviously a lot more difficult. So yeah, I think this is going to be another game where it doesn't really feel like a true road game. But let's even take at least that Rams game aside, right? Even with the Eagles game being a neutral site game at worst, and the 9 home games that they get, that leaves you with only 7 true road games. And when you go through a 7-game or a 17-game season, 18 weeks, that feels like it is a huge advantage, and it is. And one of the things that immediately stands out about this schedule for Green Bay is, and one of the things I always look for is, do you have any 3-game road trips? Because Green Bay has done that in the past where they've gone on 3-game road trips where it's away game, away game, away game. And those are awful. Those are extremely brutal. And you quickly glance through, there's not only a 3-game road trip, there's only 1 2-game road trip. And that happens from week 14 to week 15 when they face the Lions on the road and then the Seattle Seahawks on the road in week 15. That is their only back-to-back grouping of road games in the entire season. Here's the other thing that I want to talk about Green Bay's road games. Week 1 road game is in Brazil, which we talked about, is basically going to be that, in all likelihood, neutral or pro-Packers crowd. Week 3, they will go to Tennessee and actually have a true road game in week 3. All right, that one's fine. Not a ton of travel there, which is nice. Not a huge flight to Tennessee, but that's a true road game. Week 5 at LA, we talked about, probably going to be a large Packers contingent at that game. In week 8, they go to Jacksonville. All right, that is a true road game. However, Jacksonville the week before in week 7 is in London. So, and it's a Sunday to Sunday. There's no advantage here for Jacksonville. They are coming back from London, and now they do get, the opportunity and the advantage of playing in Jacksonville, but they're coming back from London and now have that game immediately a week later. So Green Bay not traveling from London. They have a home game against Houston the week before that. So yes, Jacksonville still gets a true home game, and that's a true road game for the Packers, but Jacksonville a little bit undercut by the fact that they're coming off that international game. In week 11, Green Bay goes to Chicago. However, Green Bay has their bye week before week 11. So yes, it's a road game, but Green Bay has its largest rest of the season with a full 14 days between games. Then you have Detroit Thursday night football on the road. And I talked about this. These are usually brutal games. Thursday night on the road always favors the home team on those Thursday night games. It just always does. That travel on the short week, it's a really tough turnaround. However, Green Bay does not have a short turnaround. They play Thursday night football the week before when they face the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving in the nightcap. So they don't have that usual Sunday to Thursday turnaround to play that game on the road. It is a true 7-day rest period. Then they go to Seattle on the road the very next week. And what do they get? An advantage here because they play on Thursday night the week before. So yes, it's a road game, but again, they have an advantage. And then finally, week 17, Minnesota is a true legitimate road game. And in fact, Minnesota actually has an advantage in that game because the Packers play on Monday Night Football the week before that. But overall, the road games have almost baked in advantages for Green Bay in all of them except Tennessee, Detroit, and Minnesota. The rest actually have some things that favor Green Bay in those games, which is another incredible aspect of this schedule. So yes, they have the one back-to-back road game, but even within that, it's not your usual Thursday night game against Detroit, and it's not your normal week against Seattle because they have extended rest prior to that game. So from a road trip standpoint, this could not have worked out any better for Green Bay. And I'll add one more thing on top of this. One of the other things that I look for in the schedule is, are there any games where you go 2 back-to-back road games and it's East Coast to West Coast or West Coast to East Coast? Those are usually tough on teams as well. There was a situation one year, I think it was Rams, maybe it was Patriots, then Rams or Rams, then Patriots, but Green Bay had back-to-back weeks where it was all the way East Coast to New England and then all the way West Coast to face the Rams. And those are not ideal situations there either. Green Bay has none of that. Again, they're only back-to-back road games. They go to Detroit in the first one, easy flight, come right back home. So under an hour, and then have that extended rest from the Thursday night game. And then yes, they have the long trip to Seattle, but again, they're not coming from an immediate East Coast game the week before that. And then after Seattle, they're back home in New Orleans. So they don't have any huge East Coast, West Coast swings or anything like that either. And we talked about, again, the Thursday night football road games, There is one, but it's non-traditional. It's a week of rest in between because of that Dolphins game the week before. These are all things I immediately look at the schedule, and all of these sort of favor Green Bay in a pretty significant way. Hey friends, playoff time is the best time to join the Prize Picks community that already boasts over 5 million members. There is no lack of action. We are in full playoff mode in both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball season is just heating up as we head into summer. And don't forget, we have the much anticipated debut of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA this week as well. Whatever it is that gets you excited, Prize Picks has a plethora of picks to add to your excitement and make all the action that much more enjoyable. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the easiest, most fun, and most enjoyable way to not only enjoy the games, but to win up to 100 times my money. With the right pick, you could turn $10 into $1,000 by using the Prize Picks app. Their enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. This week, of course, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. I'm also going with Anthony Edwards, and I got to go with Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton as well. The best part is there are tons of options, and whoever it is that you want to go with, there are a ton of ways to enjoy the Prize Picks app. And as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. The next, we talked about a couple of these already, but are rest advantages or disadvantages. And what this is if you play, after a bye week, like we talked about with that Bears game, you get a 7-day rest advantage if assuming the Bears play the Sunday the week before. And that's a 7-day rest advantage for Green Bay. They're going to be more well rested because they have 7 more days to do so. If you are playing on Monday Night Football, like the Packers do against, or the week before they face the Vikings, they have a 1-day rest disadvantage because the Vikings play on Sunday Night Football the week before and the Packers play on Monday Night Football. So Minnesota gets a +1-day rest advantage against Green Bay. There are only 5 of these on the entire schedule. The Packers get a 2-day rest advantage against the Indianapolis Colts coming off the Brazil game. Now, how much of an advantage that is due to the travel coming back from Brazil, we can debate that a little bit. But from a pure scheduling standpoint, they get a 2-day rest advantage against Indianapolis. Again, they play Friday, Indianapolis plays Sunday, and then they both play the following Sunday. They get that 7-day rest advantage against Chicago coming off Green Bay's bye week. So a huge 7-day advantage there. And then against the Seahawks, like we mentioned, they get a 3-day rest advantage because they play on Thursday Night Football the week before, and Seattle does not. They play on Sunday the week before. So 3+ days there for Green Bay. As we talked about, the Vikings get the 1-day rest advantage against Green Bay in the penultimate game of the season because the Packers play on Monday Night Football and the Vikings play on Sunday. So -1 day there for the Packers. And then the very last game of the season, week 18 against the Chicago Bears in Green Bay, the Packers have a -3-day rest advantage, or I guess a 3-day rest disadvantage, if you want to call it that, against Chicago because the Bears play on Thursday Night Football in week 17, the week before they play the Packers in week 18. So +2 against Indy, +7 against Chicago, +3 against Seattle, -1 against Minnesota, -3 against Chicago in the final game for a total rest advantage, disadvantage of +8 days on the entire schedule. But that may not sound like much. There are times where you get massive rest disadvantages. And you can have times where you face 2 or 3 teams coming off their bye week. Green Bay doesn't play a single team that's coming off their bye week. And you get some of those games too, where you face a team that has Thursday Night Football the week before and you're coming off a Sunday matchup. Green Bay only has one of those where it's the Chicago Bears in the very final week of the season and only one Monday Night Football disadvantage. So there's a lot of ways that can go against you. Like I said, not all schedules are created equally. Some of these have gone very much against the Packers in the past. This year, they have a +8-day rest advantage, and that is a huge win for Green Bay as well. How about travel miles? There's another one I like to look at. Thankful for bookies.com. They're not paying me anything. They just put out the article that showed exactly what I was looking for. They posted that the Packers travel 22,209 miles this upcoming season. 22,209 miles. That is the 10th most in the NFL. The Chargers have the most with 26,803 miles traveled. The Commanders, incredibly, have the least with only 10,550 miles traveled this upcoming season. So Packers are 10th most. They are the most in the NFC North of any of the NFC North teams. They travel the most. And they have the fifth most travel miles of any team in the NFC. They're in that middle enough pack. I know they're in the top third, but it's not bad enough where this is anything super egregious or anything that I'm massively worried about. But it is at least noteworthy that they travel the 10th most miles, in a large part due to that trip to Brazil. They go all the way out to Seattle. So there's a couple of those, but overall not terrible for Green Bay. They have five total primetime games. There's no advantage disadvantage here. This is more of just an observation. The most that any team has is six. The Cowboys, 49ers, and Jets all have six primetime games, defined as night games. These are not just wide audience games, because the 3:25 is like a game of the week and considered a nationally televised game or whatever. So these are just primetime, so just night games. The Cowboys, 49ers, and Jets each have six. The Packers have five, tied with the Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Bengals, Ravens, Eagles, Dolphins, and Rams. If you're wondering about the NFC North, the Vikings have two primetime games, the Bears have three, as mentioned, the Lions have five, and the Packers, of course, have five as well. The team with no primetime games throughout the entire course of the season, the Carolina Panthers with zero primetime games. All right, gold package. This is another interesting talking point on this schedule. So normally, the gold package gets the second and seventh game of the second and seventh home game of the season. If you're not familiar, the green package is the Green Bay ticket holders. The gold package is the Milwaukee ticket holders. So they usually get the second and the seventh home games. However, this year, with Green Bay having the extra home game, it is Milwaukee's turn to get the additional home game. So what they did this year was they gave it to, I forget what the actual order was. It is, let's see, the second home game, I think the third, fourth, the fifth home game, and then the ninth home game. So the second, the fifth, and the ninth is what they were given. And it just so happens that the second one is Minnesota, the fifth is Detroit, and the ninth is Chicago. So the Milwaukee season ticket holders got all three NFC North matchups. The Green Bay season ticket holders don't get a single NFC North matchup, which is pretty incredible when you kind of think of everything. Personally, as a Green Bay ticket holder myself, it doesn't bother me at all. I've seen the Lions, I've seen the Vikings, I've seen the Bears, I've seen those teams too many times to count, right? I more enjoy, all right, hey, the Texans are in town. That sounds like a fun game. 49ers are in town. The Dolphins are in town. Like, those are things more that intrigue me, like the different opponents. But I know a lot of Green Bay season ticket holders are going to be pretty upset that they don't have a single rivalry game or division game on their entire Green Bay ticket package. How about those week one odds? Packers, Eagles, week one. Packers currently sit at plus 1.5. So the Eagles are favorites in that game. If you're looking at season odds, the Packers over-under for wins is set at 9.5. You might be able to get a little bit different at different outlets, but the couple places that I checked were at 9.5. That put them fifth in the NFC, with the 49ers, Eagles, and Lions all ahead of them. I saw one place that had the Cowboys ahead of them. I saw another that had the Falcons ahead of them. But either way, they were usually fifth in the NFC in win total expectations based on Vegas odds. Green Bay's toughest stretch of the season. I think it's pretty easy here. They have a three-game stretch in 12 days that consists of the 49ers at home, the Dolphins at home, and then the Lions on the road. And again, we don't know how good these teams are going to be by week 12 of the 2024 season, but certainly on paper, the 49ers at home, the Dolphins at home, and the Lions on the road all seem like three very tough opponents going into this year. Now, thankfully, two of those are home games, with the 49ers and the Dolphins both at home, and then they get to the Lions on the road. It is a little bit interesting too that prior to that 49ers game, they play the Bears on the road. So that's a road game where you know Chicago is going to have that game circled. And then right after Detroit, they go to Seattle and they're only back-to-back road games of the season. So I think that five-game stretch, but certainly that middle of it, the 49ers, Dolphins, and Lions, is the toughest. The other sneaky tough one that I haven't seen people talk about as much is week 7, 8, and 9. Texans at home, at Jacksonville, Lions at home. Texans at home, that Stroud Love matchup is going to be fantastic. Houston certainly took a massive jump last year. I would still put Green Bay as the favorites in that game, but that should just be a really tough, really fun matchup overall. Week 8, Green Bay always struggles in Jacksonville, and you're still getting Trevor Lawrence. I know Jacksonville hasn't completely lived up to expectations as of late, but again, that's a place where they struggle, and that's overall still a pretty solid football team. And then Detroit at home, Detroit beat them in Green Bay just a season ago. Now, earlier in the year, Green Bay didn't quite hit its stride yet. And then, of course, Green Bay beat Detroit in Detroit last year, later in the season. But still, that feels like the second sneaky one where Texans, Jacksonville, and then Detroit in back-to-back-to-back games. Probably the second hardest stretch, but easily that the hardest is 49ers, Dolphins, and then at Detroit. All right, strength of schedule, like I said, these are impossible to say. If you're just going based on 2023 records, the Green Bay Packers actually have the hardest schedule in the NFC. They have the fourth hardest schedule in the NFL. Again, based on 2023 records, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Steelers are the only teams that have harder strength of schedules based on the 2023 results. However, at Dennis Salomon 33 put out a very interesting take on this. Dennis Salomon 33 on Twitter. He put together a strength of schedule based on average opponent Super Bowl odds. So looking at who has the best to worst odds. If you have the best odds to win the Super Bowl, you get 32 points. If you have the least odds to win the Super Bowl, Carolina, you get 1 point. And then they put 1 to 32 on every team. And whoever has the most amount of points, obviously has the hardest schedule. Whoever has the least amount of points has the easiest schedule. In that sort of ranking system, Green Bay ended up with the 13th hardest schedule, which was fifth in the NFC and second in the NFC North. So 13th overall hardest schedule based on Super Bowl odds, a different, kind of more unique way to look at it. How about cold weather games? Well, they get the Saints on December 23rd. That's a warm team coming, dome team coming to Green Bay on December 23rd. And then they get the Bears, which is unfortunately a cold weather team, but they get them at home on January 5th. Those are their only two December and January games at Lambeau until, of course, they play the divisional and NFC championship games in January. But as of right now, December 23rd, January 5th against Saints and Bears, the only December or January home games. The Cardinals on October 13th, the Houston Texans on October 20th, and the Miami Dolphins, to a lesser extent, on November 28th, got a little bit lucky. Warm weather teams that do not have to come to Green Bay in December or January. Dolphins still have to come on November 28th, so it's going to be still pretty cold, you would think, but there's definitely a difference between late November and early January. Let's just put it that way in Green Bay. But the Cardinals and Texans definitely got a little bit lucky having early to mid-October games rather than, again, December or January. Another thing I want to look at here, those final four games of the season. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes you want to face some of the lesser competition on your schedule later in the season. For example, I think the Tennessee Titans, who the Packers face in week 3, have one of the lowest win total projections in the NFL this year, but they may not know that by week 3. What I mean is every team in the first 3-4 weeks is having hope spring eternal and they think they can still win the Super Bowl and they're fighting tooth and nail for everything and doing everything they can to win every single game and everything like that. And they don't know yet that they might be a 3-14 team or whatever. So they're fighting. So it makes it a little bit harder. They haven't necessarily, quote unquote, kind of given up at that point yet. The Packers' final four games are at Seattle, New Orleans, at Minnesota, Chicago. If you look at what like the expected win totals are, the Seahawks are 23rd, the Saints are 24th, the Vikings are 25th, and the Bears are 19th. These are all teams that aren't exactly expected to be playoff teams, at least based on preseason win projections. And again, we have no idea how this is going to turn out. But there is a chance that when you get to those final four games, Green Bay might get some opportunities to play teams that are eliminated from the playoffs. And maybe, just maybe not quite trying quite as hard as maybe they would be earlier in the season. Now, sometimes you get nothing to lose, and sometimes those games can be scary too, but a lot of times it's a little bit different. And hopefully, if Green Bay does need to win three or four of those last games to make a playoff run, they might be able to do so set up against the Seahawks, Saints, Vikings, and Bears. All right, personally, my favorite matchups going into the season, Packers-Texans week 7. I still can't believe that that is a noon game, but that is number one on my watch list. Number two, Packers at Bears week 11. Rivalry game, first Packers-Bears game of the season, and our first look at Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love. I'm really excited about that one. Number three, Packers-Dolphins week 13. Thanksgiving night, primetime game. Should be a phenomenal atmosphere at Lambeau Field. Really good Dolphins team. Really good Packers team, at least they both should be. I'm excited for that one. Packers-Colts in week 2. That might be one that's a little bit less for some people. That's the home opener, which is always the best game of the season. I love going to that game. And then also, Colts, Anthony Richardson. I'm really excited to see what he's going to be in year 2. I think he's going to bring something a little bit more interesting to the table. I'm just excited to see what he is and what that Colts team is even earlier in the season. So that's number 4 on my list. And then, of course, Packers 49ers, week 12. That's going to be an epic game as well. The cool thing is 4 of those are home games. Texans, Dolphins, Colts, and 49ers. The Bears, the only road game. Of course, Green Bay plays the Bears in week 18 as well, which has the potential to be epic depending on what is up for grabs and what's at stake in that game. Remember, despite all those primetime games that we talked about, that flex scheduling starts in week 5. So there is the possibility that maybe Texans Packers could get flexed to a night game, or maybe one of their night games could get flexed earlier. So just remember that starting in week 5. Also, week 18 against the Bears is not set for a specific date. It's either going to be Saturday or Sunday. So it's going to be one of those days, but we won't find that out until later in the season. Overall, I think this is a massively favorable schedule for Green Bay. As we talked about, not all these schedules are created equally. I've said it multiple times, but they have no big east to west coast trips or west to east coast trips. They get the extra home game. They get a neutral site road game. They only have 1 2-game road trip, 0 3-game road trips. They get multiple rest advantages and are +8 in rest advantage for the entire season. And they get the middle of the season bye week. It's just like every single thing that you could possibly want in a schedule, Green Bay kind of got. Now, what that means for their overall record, well, time will tell, but you would still much prefer a positive schedule that gives you advantages rather than one that gives you disadvantages. We'd all just love for everything to be equal and everyone gets the same advantages. It's not made that way. They can't do it. It's an impossibility. So I'm excited. I think Green Bay got a really good luck of the draw or whatever you want to call it for their schedule this year. And hopefully it should set Green Bay up for success. My official prediction, because we have to do it, it's like mandatory to give a prediction after the schedule release. I'll say 11-6 Packers. I think they will go through a little bit of learning curve and, you know, just kind of how they fight through some expectations and stuff. I think they'll maybe go through a tougher stretch in the middle of the season, but I think they end up 11-6, really good spot and every opportunity to win the division and go do whatever damage that they can possibly do in the playoffs. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys tomorrow with that Jim Nagy episode. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.